Welcome to the What's Your Weird Story podcast.
Everyone has at least one good story.
And some of us have stories that are just to the left of normal.
We're interested in the ones that push the boundaries of what we can perceive.
Stories that defy explanations.
Stories with an air of mystery.
Stories we might not share.
For fear of being thought of differently.
But don't worry. We're all friends here. So, what's your weird story? Hello, Weirdsville. Welcome once again to the What's Your Weird Story podcast, your favorite, we hope, podcast of the weird, the wild, the unusual, the true, the unexplainable, the mysterious, the supernatural, the paranormal, the weird. I think I already said that, but it works. It's what it is. It's What's Your Weird Story. Thank you for joining us once again. I am your host, Adam Beebe, and with me, as always, is the man who makes us sound good. He is the heads to my tail. No, that sounds wrong. He is the other side of my coin. He is my homie, my best friend, my oldest friend, my co-host, your friend too, Barry Johnston.
How are you, sir?
I'm okay, man. I'm feeling a little under the weather. I think my body's trying to fight something off.
Yeah.
Which may have been why I got you've got to stop me whenever
my enjoyment is listening to you piece together these crazy great rants. it's that time of year, man, when you're just being bombarded by all these little things that are trying to get into your body, man. I feel for you, dude. Yeah. I had a bout with that a couple of weeks ago myself, man. So
I remember, dude.
Yeah, and when it hits you. So I feel for you.
Yeah, there's more people out in public in general because everybody's running around because of the holidays and all of that.
Yep.
And I've been pretty good, not getting too bad sick many times this year. But I'm still not convinced that I'm 100% sick one way or the other, but I am feeling a little run down.
Right. Yeah. But
we soldier on.
Yes, we do. So. Yes, we do. And my daughter celebrated her 21st birthday this week.
Yeah, dude. You, not me so much, but you are getting old.
I know, man. God dang.
I don't know how that happened.
It's so weird. It's weird because
I'm still somewhere in my late 20s.
I feel that way. I really do. Like mentally, I really feel like I'm young. But you know, one thing kids will do is just they'll sort of give you a marker as to just exactly how old you're getting. You know, because I still feel young, but I'm looking at my kids growing every day, and it's just like, wow, man, like. You know, she turned 21 and it snuck up on me. I just wasn't thinking much about it. Mm. And then it's like, whoa, man, like, it's just so much time has passed and I still feel the same. And I'm thinking, you know, she's the age of like when, you know, my wife had her. And that's so bizarre because that was half a lifetime ago.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I feel you, man. Like, you know, time, man, it seems like it really does seem like it goes faster the older
it
you
does.
Get.
It does.
At least, you know, the acknowledgement of the passing of time seems to be more rapid.
Yes.
It's like, you know, I mean, like, you know, your daughter is, you know, she's 21 now, dude. And I remember her when, you know, she's still a little two-year-old, a precocious two-year-old to me when I met her for the time when you guys were getting married.
Yeah.
And
she stuck her finger in the cake before we had a chance to cut into it. Yeah, man.
Oh, it's so great, man. We had so much fun then.
Yeah.
But, you know, and I feel you, man, because like the coming up this weekend, just a few days now, is it's 9 years ago that I got my cat, my first cat.
Oh, nice, nice.
You know, and I got two little girl kitties in those 9 years that since I got Heidi, the first one. And I tell you what, man, it doesn't seem like it.
Right.
You know, and I don't have kids. I'm probably not going to have kids, you know, so
That you know
so
of.
So I have my two cats.
That you know of.
Yeah. Pretty sure. I probably would have heard by now. But yeah.
weirder things have happened, man. Did you hear that story about the guy that had like hundreds of kids because he was donating to the sperm bank and then they came to look for him?
Well, yeah. Well, there's several stories like that because like one of them was the guy who was in charge of the sperm bank.
Right.
And basically,
yeah, that's right.
He was making all the deposits from himself.
That's right. He was like, the doctor. You know, yeah.
Like everybody else would be going in the cup and he'd be like, "Nah, just get rid of it." And man, he would just be giving them his own juice.
That is so crazy. Yeah. Wow. But yeah, no, I mean, you know, and that's the thing is that, you know, animals and kids and these things that come into our lives and we spend so much time with, they add so much to our lives. And I would have never, you know, the idea of becoming a father, someone responsible for someone else scared the hell out of me. Mm-hmm. Of course, you know, I think every guy goes through that, but you just sort of you fall into it, you get into a rhythm with it, and you know, you do the best you can to do what you can do to help them sort of through life. And you know, my kids have given me so much in my life and so much perspective, and it's just an amazing thing. And celebrating a 21st birthday is really, it's sort of like it's like a celebration of like, we've, you know, like we kind of made it, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like we,
yeah,
kinda,
yeah, yeah.
You know, it's like you're seeing your kid like as a fully formed human being. And it's an amazing thing, man. So
you can now officially release her into the wild.
Right. Yes.
As an adult, she can go off and she can do her own thing.
Absolutely,
so,
man.
So. You know, she's basically, it's like, look, all right, you from 18 to 21, you've got the, you know, that's your last few years to really kind of like fuck up and be okay.
Right. Exactly. Exactly, man.
But, you know, I mean, not to say you can't do it down the line, but it's easier and more acceptable. But once you turn 21, you know, your big ones have to be, you kind of got to get over that hump. So
that's right. But that's right. Not that we
not
don't
to say that.
We have failures when we get older, but the failures that you have when you get older are a little bit more difficult to overcome, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. For sure. Because you should know better by then.
Right.
And, but anyway, speaking to 21, that's about the age I was when I met today's guest, Shannon. Shannon is a old friend of mine from back in my art school days there at East Carolina University in Greenville, North Carolina. And Shannon's a painter like me, and he's out in LA now. And he contacted me, and he was like, "Hey, man, I've got some stories." And I'm like, "Cool." He's like, "I got a lot of stories." I'm like, "Even cooler." So we set it up, and we sat down, and we talked to him. And I haven't seen Shannon in years and years and years and years. I can't even, you know, I don't even know how long, but it's been a while. But it was good to catch up with him, and it was good to hear these stories because I certainly had not heard any of these. And he's had a life full of weird things and weird experiences and a variety as well. And one of my favorite things that I've heard so far, and a type of story that I've personally been waiting for because I love this kind of story, is he has a story that seems to be of a doppelganger.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty trippy.
And if you're not familiar with the concept of the doppelganger, it's the kind of like an evil twin, maybe not a biological entity evil twin, but a kind of spiritual kind of negative twin, evil twin. But yeah, anyway, we'll get into that and so much more, and we'll let Shannon tell it in his own words. So Shannon, thank you for joining us. What's your weird story?
My weird story. My childhood friend Jason. He and I were good buddies, like in fifth grade or so, and we were really tight and close. And you know, eventually through high school, middle school, kind of grew apart. And then later in life, I found out that he was in an auto accident. He got hit head on from a car going the wrong way on a bridge, and he was hospitalized because of this. And all this is like, you know, indirect knowledge, but he was in the hospital, and he apparently had an aneurysm. And before he died, he told the nurses, like, you're going to think that this sounds really weird, but I heard something pop in my ear. And then he passed. He was done. And that was, I don't remember what year that was relative to where this weird story part begins, but I imagine a few years had passed for sure. And so one night, actually living in New Bern, North Carolina, I used to meditate a lot at this part of my life, and I was probably about 19 or 20 years old. And so I was on my bed, and I don't know if I was dazed off because I fell asleep or if I was meditating and in some state, whatever the case may be. I felt somebody sit down on my bed, and I looked over, and it was Jason, and he's sitting there, and I'm like, oh man, what are you doing here? And he's like, oh, you know, I wanted to say hi, and I wanted to share something with you. And I was like, okay, what's going on? And he's like, well, you got to come here, and you got to take a look at this with me. So I said, sure. And I remember, like, kind of leaning up in bed. I remember him holding onto my hand, and the way that I remember it is the instant that he was holding onto my hand, we were both hovering above, he lived on a farm, and there was like a quarter mile long or some long dirt road to get to his farm, to his home. And I remember holding onto his hand and seeing our shadows above the ground, and that we were going over the dirt road. And then we got to his garage, which is usually the way that we entered into his house, because we would be getting out of the car and going in through this hallway. And so he's, mm-hmm. and I'm like, what's going on? What do you have to show me? And he's like, well, just come here. And so we walk down the hallway, and we get into the kitchen, and his mom and his dad are in the kitchen there. She is reading a newspaper and drinking coffee, and he was doing something like a crossword or something. I don't remember exactly, but he was there doing something preoccupied. They're both having coffee. And I was like, well, what is it that you want me to, see? And he's like, well, don't you notice anything? And I'm like, notice what? And he's like, my parents are ignoring me. They don't know that I'm here, and I'm here. And I'm like, oh, that's really kind of odd, like, well, what do you think this is all about? And I'm like, I don't know. Like, have you tried talking to them? And they're just like, I was still kind of like, what do you mean they're ignoring you? They're just like being mean to you or something like this. What's going on? And he's like, no, watch. And he walked over and said, hi, Mom. And there was nothing happening, that would alert anybody to his presence in the room, basically. And I kind of had this sinking feeling for a second. And I was like, hey, Jason, can I tell you something? I was like, you realize that maybe they're not ignoring you, but you're not supposed to be here anymore because you died. And he froze and like got really happy. I could tell that he was excited. And he said, Shannon, I know exactly what I've got to do. Thank you so much. And he was like giving me like this, happy scoot away. Like, I gotta go. And he opened the kitchen door to the outside. And as soon as he stepped outside the threshold, I didn't see him anymore. And then I was in my bed. And so I was like, that's kind of trippy. Yeah.
That is.
Oh, my Lord, man.
That is incredibly trippy, man. That is wild.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I feel like that in part that was especially odd based on some other things that have happened to me in the past. And a lot of this has to do with experiencing, I guess, disembodied people. And not too long after my grandmother passed, and I was young, I think I was maybe like 8 or 9, sitting in the kitchen, I was up on the counter looking out the window. And I saw my grandmother drive up in her silver Chrysler with the maroon interior, and I heard the gravel underneath the tires and everything. And I ran in there. I said, Mom, like, Grandmom's here. Grandmom's here. I was all excited. And my parents got, pretty upset because it was my dad's mom, and it was still kind of fresh. And you know, they were not happy about that. And I started to get in trouble because I was insistent, like, no, I'm telling you, grandma just pulled up in the driveway. Like, right. I saw her. I know that she's here. There's no way it's not her. And so they got bothered with me and upset. And I don't remember. I just remember there was like, I don't know if it was like I felt guilty. I don't think that they were shaming me or anything like this, but I could tell that it was not supposed to be, you know, I wasn't supposed to be talking about that. And so I don't know, like the next afternoon, my mom came in. I don't remember. I think it was in the dining room or something. Doesn't really matter. But my mom came up to me and she was like, Shannon, you know, sit down. I want to tell you something. And she's like, I owe you an incredible apology. And I just want you to know that last night your grandmother woke me up calling your dad's nickname. And she kept saying Bobalink. And I woke up and saw your grandmother standing there at the foot of our bed. And I woke your dad up, and he saw his mom standing there. We both did. And she just basically was telling us that she was okay. And she was like, so we won't ever doubt what you have to say about seeing people like that again.
Wow, dude.
So I was like, oh, thank you. A little validation. Appreciate that.
Whoa.
How old were you when that happened?
I imagine that I was probably about 8 or 9.
Wow.
I know that was, I had to have been about 8 or 9. It was after, I had started certain schools. So I know that, that's about as close as I can be to that age.
Wow.
Did you know that she had passed away?
Okay. I knew that. Yeah, for sure.
So you're probably thinking, what in the hell's going on here? She's here, but she's supposed to be, you probably at that age, don't have a real grasp on what death is anyway, you know?
Yeah, I just was excited when I saw her because I knew that she had died and I was like, oh, she's here, back. Like she's visiting. So,
wow.
Yeah, I don't know that I understood. I mean, I thought, you know, I feel like I understood pretty well what death was, but then whenever I saw her, it was just like, yeah, that's my grandma. like death was.
Wow. Yeah, you know? Wow.
Wow. Yeah, that's an age. It seems that you would, I mean, the most that you could probably understand about death at that age would be that, you know, somebody's gone and not coming back, you know?
Yeah.
So that's almost like, you know, they moved away and they're never going to be able to come back or whatever, you know? And so that's, you know, maybe that's what you would, you know, in your head that it was at. And that's why you're excited regardless because your grandma is, you know, she's back to visit or whatever.
And she died not too long after her husband, you know, my grandfather died. And so I remember like the grandfather dying was sad because he was in the hospital and he was sick for a long time. And I just remember my dad, you know, and like it being sad about the whole thing. And that basically I'm understanding like, oh, you know, he's dying because his body's not working anymore. And so that's pretty much it. And then my grandmother, I think, was really lonely that, you know, her husband had left. And so she just died in her sleep one night. And, you know, the idea that kind of surfaced through family talk was that she died out of loneliness or she died to go be with her husband. Yeah. So
from a broken heart.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know that I equated it as being eerie or unsettling or anything like that. It's just it was a matter of fact. I knew that was I saw it was plain as day pulling up.
Right.
So that was nothing questionable to me.
Sure.
So I was coming at my mom and dad with some strong conviction on that front.
Right.
they were not excited to hear that.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, wow. I guess that I've had like a maternal kind of connection. Because my grandmother on my mom's side, my maternal grandmother, she also passed away, and I never saw her after she died. But I did. I was taking a shower, and I heard her say, "Shannon, I'm okay. I just wanted you to know I'm okay." And it was as clear of a voice as I can imagine, or I didn't imagine it, but or I don't think I did. But anyways, you know, and. And I was like, all right, then. Thanks, Grandma. And I'd never had any dreams or, you know, any other visions about her. Nothing like that had happened. But I did hear her say that she was okay, which I thought was interesting, too, because it was kind of the same message that my mom was telling me that, you know, that my dad's mom was coming to say that everything's fine. So I thought that was pretty neat. Yeah, some of the unusual stuff that happened in my home that wasn't necessarily my parents happened not only through that part of the childhood, but also when I was a young adolescent, I guess. There are quite a few things that happened inside the home. I used to sneak out a lot, you know, and I wasn't particularly up to like no good, not you know, like ransacking anything or whatever. Yeah. You know, it's kind of innocent sneaking out and stuff. But I had a good relationship with my parents, and I knew that sneaking out wasn't right. But at the same time, it's like, well, I want to do what I want to do, and I'm going to do it safely. And you know, I was trying to be careful and all this stuff. And one night when I snuck out, I always slept with my bedroom door locked, so that my parents couldn't come in and see that I was gone. And, so one night I'm out, doing whatever I'm doing, and it's late, and I sneak back into the room, and I'm like ninja quick about this, get up under the covers, nestle in, and, almost as soon as I get totally tucked in, bam, 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 bam on the door, and my heart's thumping. Like, I know that I'm busted. So I, like, rustle my hair up and try and act like I'm sleepy, you know. And I go to the door. I'm like, what is it, Dad? You woke me up. And he's like, was that you? And I was like, was that me what, Dad? And he was like, was that you? Don't play games with me right now. And I was like, I'm in here sleeping. He's like, stay right there. And then I was like, something else is going on here. This is kind of weird. Yeah. So then he walks into my sister's room and he flings open the door real fast. And he looks around, he sees my sister sleeping. He comes back into I'm still in the threshold of the door. And, he says, are you messing with me right now? And I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about, Dad. I was like, you're kind of freaking me out a little bit. And he's like, well, yeah, just lock the door for a second and stay right there. And I'm like, what is my dad tripping about? So he does like a scouting around the whole house. He's checking everything out. And so then I get curious and I peek out and I'm like, what's going on, Dad? And he's like, get back in your room. I'll be there in a minute. So he comes back and I'm like, what's going on? Like, you got to spill the beans now, man. And he said, well, your mom and I know that you were in the hallway. And I'm like, excuse me? I was like, I was in the bedroom. And he's like, well, that's what I can't quite figure out is how you pulled this off. And I'm like, what? He said, so in the hallway of my the house I grew up in, is wood slats. And there's a large one, small one, and small one. And if you trail your thumb down, it makes the rhythm because the big, small, small. Mm-hmm. And so I used to do that when I was like, you know, trying to cause a ruckus. I run down the hall with my finger, and he said, well, we saw you run down the hallway in your shirt and underwear, and we heard you rubbing your thumb against the slats of wood. And he said, but the thing I can't figure out is that you ran down the hallway towards the bathroom after I had yelled at you to stop, which I didn't hear any of this stuff. And when I heard you run down the hallway again after I yelled at you to stop, I came out to see where you went, and there's nothing in the hall. And then I knocked on your door, and your door was locked. He's like, but you didn't go back in your door. He's like, I don't know how you did it, but I don't like this type of joking around. I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about, but now I'm starting to get a little freaked out.
Yeah.
And that was one incident where my parents and friends and parents that have been in my house have seen me running around doing stuff I wasn't supposed to be doing. My mom had a friend, her name was Anne. And one night I was in the shower and sitting there, and they were in the living room on the couch. And so I'm just minding my business. I take my shower and then I walk out of the hallway, which as you walk out of the hallway, you can peer to the left and you can see the couch. And I saw both of them, their heads fixed towards the opposite side of the living space. So I walked out and peered out around the hallway, and I was like, what are you guys looking at? And as soon as I said what, they both jumped like nervous cats, and their heads like snapped around really quick. And they looked at me, and they both had that, like, when you get really scared, sometimes you go, you take in a deep breath like this. They both did that. And I was like, what is going on? And they said, how did you do that? What's going on? What are you, what kind of tricks are you playing? And I wasn't quite sure what they were talking about. But apparently, after I got out of the shower, I ran across the house and went into the kitchen and slammed my hand onto the dryer. And as soon as I had done that, they were like, Shannon, what are you doing? And they were trying to talk to me, and I wasn't responding. And they were waiting for me to respond when I stuck my head out of the hallway and asked what they were doing. So they were a bit unnerved about having saw me run across the house and then not be across the house.
Whoa.
Dude. I'm excited. This is really cool. This is to me because you've got a doppelganger.
Exactly.
That's a classic doppelganger type stories, man.
That's crazy.
That's freaky. I've been waiting for somebody to have something for these kind of stories because I love hearing them, and that's so wild, man. That's
crazy.
Yeah, it's bizarro land too because like I'm impish. I like to be, you know, silly and playful and stuff like this. And but I don't know of any of the stuff that was going on other than from my parents, you know, and parents' friends saying, like, what were you just doing? And then the story kind of gets unfolded, you know, to me as they're telling it. So there's one other time.
I have a question that it's in this. Maybe this Maybe I'm completely off base with this, but I'm just curious. But were you maybe supposed to be a twin?
I've never heard that. I don't think the twins run in my, not that I know of, man. Yeah.
I don't know. That's just something that occurred to me, and maybe there was something, some kind of connection. I don't know.
For sure.
But otherwise, then, yeah, you've got a doppelganger, and, you know, who's to say, maybe you're the bad one.
Only time will tell.
Only time
will. It depends on who writes the history books, right?
So wild, though.
That
dude.
Is wild, man.
I don't know if you guys have ever heard of the idea. I talked to a friend today. I was telling him that I was on the podcast, and he's from Ireland, and he was like, "Oh, he's like, we call that a Cohen." And I had never heard of this term before. And he's like, it's more in European esoteric, you know, world stuff. But the Cohen is basically eventually what I would be, what, you know, I would more commonly be able to relate it to, he said, is the idea of a poltergeist where, you know, like you are actually physically moving stuff and it's like a subconscious type of thing. And he's like, but usually poltergeist has the kind of negative connotation of like children being abused and then that's their subconscious kind of raging out. And he was like, but a Cohen has this ability where you basically, your subconscious has such a drive that it manifests things into the physical world. And even if they're only for a few moments or something like this. And that's what I was saying. I was like, oh, I thought, you know, I was sure that this is like a kind of doppelganger effect. And he was like, yeah, maybe so, but you should look into this idea, which I just found out about this a few minutes before I came to talk with you guys. So
that also sounds like a tulpa, which is a very similar kind of thing where your consciousness or your will focused, I guess, somehow creates an actual thing. So like, you know, so I don't know exactly the mechanics of it, but it's from, I want to say it's Tibetan, but I may be wrong, but it's, but I just heard about it maybe a year or two ago, but it's popped up a lot since I've heard about that concept, this whole thing, thing. So I don't know.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So who knows? But I mean, you know, and like you said, you were mischievous, you know, so maybe your impish side would do these things, or, you know, but at the same time, you weren't conscious of it.
Right.
So maybe it was, well, I mean, I don't know. Maybe it was. To me, it's, I mean, it certainly sounds like a doppelganger by definition, because it is you, another you. You know, and they recognize it as an other you.
Yeah.
So now maybe it's, you know, who, how it came about, who knows? I don't know. But it's, man, those are, that's just incredible story. Yeah, I mean, just fantastic. It's amazing.
It's bizarre land too, because this stuff is going on, and it's like, how do you, you know, who you tell and how do you explain that stuff when you're figuring, you know, yourself out and like, when you're young. One incident that kind of rattled me a little bit, not from like I thought I was going to get in trouble and then kind of having this thing unravel in the middle of the night, but I think it was like in sixth or seventh grade, and my parents had started leaving me at home during the summer by myself. And so I used to go skate. We had a half pipe a couple of blocks over, so I'd wake up and do my thing, and then I'd get out of the house and go skate. And one summer morning I woke up, and like I said, I sleep with my my bedroom door locked, and I woke up and my windows were open, and, you know, it's like I'm waking up, so I'm kind of still a little hazy and stuff like that, and I'm not really paying attention, but I was like, oh, that's odd. So close the windows and go in the bathroom and getting ready and everything, and then I noticed a breeze blowing the curtains, and the windows in the bathroom were open. So I was like, like, that doesn't make sense to me, because my parents are hyper vigilant about making sure I'm safe all the time. And and then, so, you know, I got that little weird feeling like something is off here. And so I ran into my sister's room, and sure enough, I went through all the rooms in the house, and every single window in the entire house was open. And I thought, like, oh, something, maybe they, I don't know, whether they spray for roaches and they wanted it to air out or something. I wasn't quite sure. And so I called my mom at work, and I was like, what's the deal with all these windows being open? And she was like, I don't know what you're talking about. And I was like, well, I'm waking up and like all the windows in the bathrooms and bedrooms are open. I was like, even the kitchen windows. And she's like, yeah, we didn't do anything like that. You know, I don't understand what you're talking about. And then I started getting freaked out, because I was in the house alone and all these windows were open, and I don't know what's come in or come out. Right. And even the we had a small bathroom. And we had a couple of Siamese cats, and the small bathroom didn't have a screen in it, and that window was open. And when that was going on, I was like, yeah, my parents would have never done this, because they don't want the cats to get out.
Right.
So I got really nervous and put on my clothes really quick and grabbed my skateboard. And even when I went to, we used to have like a storm door and then our regular doors, and the storm doors had windows as well that could slide up. And even though usually it's like when you pull on the regular door, there's a suction because the other door is there. And man, I pulled on that door and almost knocked myself over, because there was no suction, because even those windows were open. And so I closed that one, and I kindly departed from the house for the rest of the day. It's like, no, thanks. I don't know what's up with that, but bye-bye. Yeah.
So I don't, it sounds, well, this, the Windows house and all the you know, the doppelganger, is this all the same house?
It's all the same house, yeah. Huh.
Interesting.
Do they still live there or no?
No, we moved out when we actually came to North Carolina.
Okay.
And since then, that house has burned down, actually. So
really?
Yeah, it's wow. No longer there.
And someone saw you dancing around in the front.
Yeah, we were out of state when it all went down. But
these types of things happened all the way up until you guys moved. I mean, basically, like, they never stopped, really. It was kind of an ongoing thing.
Yeah, it was kind of an ongoing thing. And even after I left, there's still some things that are a bit unusual. I mean, like when I told you the story about my friend, that wasn't in that house that I grew up. That was after I had moved. So I was like 19 or 20.
Right.
We left Florida when I was, 19. And, since then I've still had stuff that happened. I was dating a girl a few years ago, and I woke up really early one morning to go to the bathroom, and I had like you know, one of those hand knitted types of blankets, like just robed over me, and I was walking down the hall, and I saw the cat coming towards me, and I bent over to pet it, and when I put my hand down to pet it, like my hand just hit the ground, and then I looked around. There was no cat there, and I was like, I just saw the cat that looked like the cat that you have, but it was made out of air, or something was happening to where that it could disappear really quick. And she was like, oh, that, you know, the cat that I have now had a brother that is, you know, that died. And the, you know, because there was some differences in the way that the cat looked, and I was like, but it wasn't this color or whatever the difference was, I don't remember at this point. But it was like a flash. It happened so quickly.
Wow.
And I swear it was like the cat was right there and my hand went right through it and touched the ground. And then there was no cat there. And I was like, what's going on with that? You know?
Wow.
Yeah. I've had some other things too that I'm just like, why do I see these things? I'm curious, you know, how some people don't see this stuff.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And how people can say like, oh, I don't believe in ghosts. And I'm like, okay, well, that's, you know, that's your business. That's fine. But there's no way that I can't, because it's been my experience in life that right. these things have occurred
yeah.
regularly yeah. or semi-regularly. So, yeah, it's an amazing world that we live in.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Sure,
it's an amazing universe.
It is. Yeah. You know, Adam and I have each had some weird things happen to us. Mm-hmm. I've never had any ghost type stuff happening, but you know,
I never have really either.
Yeah, and having people come on and talk about stuff, you know, that's related to that it's fascinating to me, because you know, we've had people on that like have a real strong connection with this stuff, and it's like, you know, they have a hard time turning it off a lot of times,
yeah. right?
You know,
yeah.
or they yeah. get to the point in their life where they're like, they want to shut it off, and they just sort of remove themselves from that side of it. You know, I've never had that, so I don't know what that would be like, but it's fascinating to hear those stories like that. You couldn't make yeah. that up. I mean, the story about your friend is really a freaky one, man. I can relate to that story. I had a friend of mine who died young, and I had a dream. It's such a vivid dream, man. And he died, let's see, probably to over 25 years ago, 24 years ago. And the dream that I had was similar to yours in that he and I are together. We're at his parents' house, and he's outside in the backyard, and I keep trying to go over to open the door to let him in because I want his parents to see him. Mm. But for whatever reason, I can't get over to the door, and his parents aren't really getting it. You know what I mean? Like,
right,
I'm trying to tell them, but they're not understanding.
It's not registering.
Yeah, it's so weird, man. I woke up, and I was just like, what does that mean? You know, like, it was just a weird, weird, weird thing, man. So I can understand where, I mean, it's amazing that you were able to have a conversation with him. That's pretty, pretty amazing. Special.
Yeah.
I wonder, you were saying before we started, about how when you were in third grade, how you've been tested,
mm-hmm.
and go ahead and retell that. And then, this, cause this makes me think maybe this has something to do
mm-hmm.
with all of this other stuff.
Yeah, for sure. That's definitely part of the like puzzle. I think part of why I brought it up to, time out real quick. Let me go plug my computer in. I'll be right back.
So yeah, no problem. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And the girl, the babysitter girl, she picked up the phone, and there was a policeman on the other side, and he said, we've tracked the phone call, and it's coming from inside the house!
Whoa.
Yeah, dude.
I love those urban legend stories.
Dude, I do too. And you remember the one where the girl, it's always the babysitter, or it's the kids making out in Lover's Lane, but there's the one where the girl comes up and she finds the kids are watching TV, and she turns them around, and their face has SpaghettiOs!
Oh, man. Or the hook guy. Remember the hook guy?
The hook was hanging from the rearview mirror.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you got a story that is similar to any of those awesome urban legends, we want to hear it. Because, you know, those urban legends, man, they start off as somebody's true life weird story. It's got to be true somewhere.
Yeah, so when you're asking about this testing, and I was going from third grade into the fourth grade, mm-hmm. and was getting tested for, you know, extracurricular academic programming and IQ tests. And then as a part of being admitted into this school, it was kind of fun because we got to go to a different school once a week. And do all kinds of crazy projects. Like we made a solar hot dog cooker, and that was pretty neat. But one of the tests was for ESP, and it was somewhat like I don't have solid memories of a lot of the tests that I did. There are a couple of parts of the ESP test that I remember. They definitely had the cards that had like the three wavy lines and the symbols on the back. And they asked a couple of different ways of experiencing those cards. Like one, the guy would look at the card and he would focus on the card and think about the card. And they would ask me to see what... see what image came to mind, or mm-hmm. if I could, you know, kind of pick up on what he was thinking about. Also, they did it where it was kind of a predictive thing where, you know, they would have the card on the table and, you know, I would just try to guess basically which card it was. Yeah. And they would go through several scenarios of that. They also did stuff where they would have a drawing, or someone would create a drawing, and then I would try to understand what that drawing was. And they would also ask me, there was another thing that had to do with drawing in there. I don't remember exactly what it was, but I was supposed to be drawing something. They would tell me like, oh, somewhere in... They would give me geographical locations like, oh, somewhere in Europe, this thing is happening, or there is an area that we're thinking about in Europe and it's outside. They would kind of like prompt me and then right. say, give me the drawing that, or give me images that help fill out the landscape and stuff like this. Wow. There's some, I don't remember much. That part is like really hazy, but definitely the cards and the way that they were like, there's different, you know, testing for those cards, and then the drawing and having someone draw and me try to think of like what it is that they were drawing. Apparently I didn't realize this until much later in life, but there's military operations where they actually use telepathic drawings mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. stuff like this. And for whatever it's worth, I'm somewhat glad that my parents opted not to pursue that route right. anymore. But at the same time, it's like, you know, what would my life be different? You know, what would it be like to have gone through some training on that front right. or to yeah. have, you know, like seen what they had to offer beyond just taking the test for that type of stuff.
Does your mom and dad, do either one of them have the same? I mean, I know that, you know, your mom said that she saw your grandma and stuff like that, but like, do either one of them have the same abilities? Or that they ever talked about that? Or
no, they, not that I know of. My dad's very pragmatic, and he's also open to possibilities, and he's curious about the stuff. He doesn't just, you know, shut it down, which mm-hmm. You know, I appreciate that, but he's, you know, he said that he's never experienced anything like that. But then, you know, he said that he saw his mom there. So I guess that them seeing my grandmother and then them seeing me running around the house is as much of that type of stuff that I know of that they've right. experienced.
Yeah.
What kind of school was it that did this testing? Was it a special kind of school? Was it connected to the military or anything, or was it like a other kind of independent private school kind of thing?
I believe it was independent and private. I don't know. I'd have to do some research now. But it was It was called PATS, P-A-T-S, Program for Academically Talented Students. And I don't know that it was connected to any military service. How that being said, like, it charged me when you asked that, because I did take a class on flight, and we got to go to the base and do the simulators, not the cockpit, but the co-pilot right. simulation, where you type in coordinates and stuff like this. But you know, it's really it was an awesome school. When I took the flight class, actually, that was the first introduction to UFOs that I had experienced. I had a teacher named Dr. Smith, and he was going over the history of flight and talking about how far back we have record and imagery and writing about flight. And then he went to talk about the book of Ezekiel, and he's like, what do you think that they're describing here? And you know, again, with the drawing, but draw pictures of what you think it is that's going on as I read this passage. So there's some pretty neat stuff that I was exposed to in this school.
That's really outside of the box kind of education kind of stuff, because I mean, you know, like, you're testing for psychic abilities, testing for that remote viewing ability, which is the one where they give you the coordinates and you do the drawing. I mean, those especially were, like you said, where they had programs in the CIA and then the military in the Cold War era where they were testing people for that. And they were doing all that stuff. There's a movie called The Men Who Stared at Goats. That came out probably.
George did that have Clooney in it?
Yeah.
That's what I remember. That based off of that kind of the stories out of that kind of thing. But yeah, so I mean that's on record, you know, and it's wild that, you know, we did that, but that's definitely on record. But it's just, to me, it's wild that was included into a testing to get into that school. And you know, I'm just curious what kind of school it was that, you know, that used that kind of, you know, that information. Well, and so
let me also, just for clarity, and I guess just for my own self, I am not certain that testing was for entry into the school.
Okay.
I know that there were tests that I had to pass in order to, their IQ tests that I took to get into the school. Mm-hmm. And then they were testing within the school to see what kind of, like, which way I wanted to go, like what my strengths were, what my curiosities were, and things like that. Gotcha. And if I remember correctly, I think that was a test that was inside of the school after you'd already been admitted. And, but for whatever that's worth, I just, you know, it's like, it's odd to hear that. It's hard to hear myself say it because I don't know anybody else that has done this stuff. And it's like, okay, well, how does that work?
I certainly never got any ESP tests when I was a kid that I can recall.
Right.
Yeah, for sure.
Wow. That's wild.
Well, speaking of the UFO thing, what do you think about this, the Navy videos that came out? Did you watch that? Did you watch any of that footage, the Navy videos?
Like a few months ago, that came out. Is that right?
Yeah.
I have had experience with the UFO as well.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
And good. And I'm glad that this stuff is coming out, and I'm glad that it's people that are generally considered, you know, by the book and very like people that have no skin in the game to be BSing and making this stuff up. So I appreciate that a lot. And you know, there's footage of like the UFOs buzzing the White House. It was, I think, during the 50s or something like this. And there's been pilots, airline pilots, that have reported seeing UFOs. And so I just don't think that our universe is really as small as our neighborhood is, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, for sure.
Man.
And, you know, and I hear people say, oh, well, even if there are other intelligent life forms out there and they're flying around in UFOs, like, what would they be doing here? And blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yeah, you're thinking with your human brain what's going on with these things that are maybe interstellar or maybe interdimensional.
Yeah.
The the UFO that I saw, it freaked me out. I had a lot of excited emotions about experiencing it. And it happened for 4 minutes. It was on October 14th of 2017, which was a Sunday. Mm-hmm. And I woke up 8 o'clock, my alarm went off. I hit the snooze button. And at 8:09, you know, I got out of bed because the snooze was about to go off. I woke up before the snooze went off, but at 8:09, I had turned off the snooze and I got out of bed and I went into the bathroom and I looked up into the sky and I saw what appeared to me to be like a plastic grocery bag, kind of like the tan colored plastic grocery bag. And it looked like it was caught in the wind, like something out of an art video of some sort. And it was kind of like doing this dance where it was looping up and looping up, but basically staying in the same spot in the sky. And I was like, oh, that's pretty, like, you know, yeah, I'll take a look at that. And then I looked a little bit closer and I was like, that's actually not a bag. Like, what is this thing? And so I would love to be able to describe this and do it justice. I don't think it's going to happen verbally, but I don't know if you've ever seen, there's like little plastic beads that look like, you know, kids make necklaces out of them and stuff like this. And it has three little bulbs and there's a hole in the center.
Right.
And so this is what the shape of this thing was. And if everything's just laying parallel and flat, one of the bulbs would go under and it would go up and then it would be flat again. And then another one of the bulbs would go under and up and then another one of the bulbs under and up to where it just kind of had this undulating, flipping and rotating thing staying in the same place. And there was little shimmers off of part of it, but it didn't look metallic to me necessarily. Huh. So I'm checking this out, bizarred out, nothing too phenomenal or something I couldn't wrap my head around at this point. And there was only that, and then there was a red sphere that was underneath it. And when I say appeared, I don't mean that like it was small and then it came closer. I mean like stop animation style. There was nothing in that frame, and then there was the red sphere that appeared in that frame, full size, like split second, boom, it's there.
Just and it popped had into existence.
Yeah, popped doesn't even give me the right word. It just existed all of a sudden. Like it was not there, and then it was there in its fullness. Wow. And it was red, and it was like it looked kind of rubbery, like what are the balls, Jim, where you throw and you hit dodgeball. It looked like the rubber from a dodgeball.
Wow.
And it was there, and it started traversing down the little original grocery bag one was still, you know, doing its little dance in the sky. And this red one started going down, and then there was a blue one right behind it. And it was kind of like a dark cobalt blue, not super dark, but it also had this rubbery looking texture. And they both started going down and then started kind of swooping, curving up and off away. When both of the spheres had appeared, and the thing was in the background doing its dance, the thing that was in the background doing its dance turned into a pinhead, shiny little silver ball that was super small. And it was still there. It was reflecting a little bit of light, or it looked like it was a light in the sky, but there was no more beige thing flipping and rotating. And I'm tripping balls at this time. Like, what the funk is going on here? This is exciting. This is crazy. Yeah. And I'm in the bathroom and the window is like really not that big. So I can't quite, you know, back away and get the full scope. And I'm starting to panic that I'm like experiencing something and witnessing something that I'm going to miss or that I can't. Mm-hmm. So I run to the other room and I hadn't gone there yet because that little pinhead, and then these the blue sphere and the red sphere kind of move out of frame. And when they were out of frame, the pinhead all of a sudden turned back into that the beige thing that was doing its flipping and rotating. And it was doing its flipping and rotating thing. And that's when I ran into the other room to see if I could still see the spheres. And so I was able to see them for a moment and look back over, and I could still see the beige thing for a moment. And then I didn't see any of either of none of them anymore. And I was like, what has just happened? So at that point, when I didn't see them anymore, I ran back into my bedroom, in which I passed the alarm clock, and it was 9:12 or 8:12. So 4 minutes had passed since, like, you know, I got out of the bed before 8:09, but I imagine like 3 minutes the whole thing lasted, and I couldn't see any of it from any other window. And so I was tripping out, and I'm thinking to myself, like, what was that? What did I just experience? How awesome and amazing was that? Are they going to fucking come get me? That night, I was terrified. I was like, how many other people in LA saw this?
Right.
And what does it take to not see that? I mean, you just don't look up. If you don't look up, like, you wouldn't have seen it. And if you had not, I don't know, you know, I don't know, but I was just like, did anybody else see this? Was it just me? But that night I was like, these little dudes not coming into my home, right. Not zapping me. If they do, they need to fix my teeth. I got some molars back there that could, you know, polish them. But I was really scared that night. I thought that I had experienced something that had perhaps opened me to further experiences.
Right.
And it terrified me. And then, you know, a few years later that, The Fourth Kind, that movie came out.
Yeah.
I didn't like that movie. That bothered me deep. Yeah. I was like, okay, I know it's a mockumentary, but you're still kind of tripping me out a little much.
Wow.
Man. Go ahead, Bear.
Well, I want to know, like, could you have an idea of scale? Was this a large object or?
I could not tell. It was not it was in the sky, and I don't know how far away it was.
Right.
Nothing close by that I could compare it to. There was a power line, electricity line in front of me, and that was the only other thing in the sky that I could see.
Gotcha.
That's a relatively long, like, experience, though.
Yeah. Because 3 minutes is good.
Most people don't even, you know, maybe they see something for like 10, 15 seconds, you know.
Right.
Just seeing as much as you did and over a large area, you know, a large populated area.
Yeah, exactly.
I wonder if anybody else had seen it, man. I mean, because like you said, it's just like we don't look up, you know, especially now we don't look up. We look to our phones. You know, right. We're looking down at the ground and looking to our phones and all of that, and we never look up. And there could be so much that's happening, but
But not only that, it's like if I didn't have curiosity, I wouldn't have bothered. Because when I looked out there, the sky was just like, oh, it's a beautiful day outside. That's nice. Oh, there's more trash floating around in our sky. I could have just dismissed it and kept going. So somebody could have seen it and not even paid it any attention.
Right.
But because I just was, you know, transfixed for a little bit on the movement of it. And then I don't know if you guys seen that movie Basquiat. I think that there's like a scenario where they're watching something blowing in the some debris blowing around in like a little dirt devil or something like that. And maybe even on some Kevin Spacey movie, American Beauty. I think
American
that there
might Beauty,
be
that's where they're filming something like
the thing I've ever seen. And it's the trash bag in the wind.
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of like, oh, I'm experiencing that in real life.
Right,
and then I was
like,
wait a minute. And so it kind of unfolded to me in a way that was like, okay, this is not what I thought it was. And now I don't know what it is. And then, oh shit, it's got some friends.
Wow.
What's this all about?
Wow.
I've never heard of that kind of.
Yeah, it's very unique.
I've never heard of anything like that described like that in any UFO literature or documentary or anything I've heard of, which is not to say that it couldn't exist, because I mean, obviously it was there, you saw it, and you know, it could be this, you witnessed something completely new, or it could be like some new thing that, you know, they, you know, whatever, whoever they are, you know, or who knows, dude. That's wild.
Or whatever it's worth, because it impacted me pretty profoundly, and I was pretty excited, you know, after seeing it. And I went online and there is a UFO report data bank that you can, it's government, and you can put your sighting in there. And then also I was looking up, I have certain degrees of skepticism or like certain degrees of openness to wild experiences, but I also have certain boundaries of like, I don't necessarily believe some things, or I don't buy into some things, if you will.
Sure.
And I did a Google search. Maybe it was not Google back then. I don't remember exactly, but I searched online and there was some group of UFO fanatics or UFO enthusiasts, or, you know, whatever, however you can best phrase this without being offensive, because I don't mean any disrespect to anybody, but there was online literature about, oh, this is the October 14th is a new awakening. And I think that there's like, my experience is when I've looked up some UFO stuff online, that there are often groups of people saying repeatedly throughout many dates that this is the new horizon, the new awakening. So I didn't give that much credence.
Yeah, it's either the end of days or it's the new dawn. You know?
Yeah. Like, when is lunch break around here? Right? Well, don't you guys have some tea and biscuits to get to every once in a while? but yeah, so I didn't kind of give that too much credence. But I did look up UFO spawning. And I did see a video that, if I remember correctly, it took place somewhere over Japan, and it had a very similar triangular shape UFO, and there were all of a sudden these light bursts that started happening, and the lights they moved at about the same speed and at the same kind of swooping motion. Or maybe I don't know. I know that the speed that they moved at was the same. I may be, you know, creating a memory about the swooping motion. But there's some stuff out there that I saw when I looked up spawning, and that kind of imagery was about as close as I've seen to what I experienced. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I've definitely heard of UFOs having, like you said, spawning, where you will have objects coming out, you know, like a mothership or a larger ship, and things will come out, or even in cases where there will be a large mass that breaks into smaller pieces, and then they'll return back together to form the larger mass, Voltronic, if you will. That's what I like to call it. But yeah, so I've heard of things like that, but I've, you know, just the description of the beige one, that I've never heard of anything like that, and that's wild. I mean, that's a wild physics that it was acting on. So
yeah, when it turned into a pinhead, like, it was just a silver dot all of a sudden that was absolutely tiny. I was like, and it could have been that it, I was like, I don't know how it could have been anything, but but I was like, oh, maybe the beige thing disappeared, and somewhere off in the distance there was a plane flying behind it, and that was, you know, being obscured by the beige thing whenever the beige thing was there. But it looked, the illusion was convincing that it was something large, and then it shrunk to something small, and then it was something big again. Right. Not too long after, and then they were gone. It was just like the spheres were not there, and then all of a sudden they were there. That beige thing was just not there anymore. It didn't move away. It didn't, you know, like, slurk off into the distance. It was just, it was not there anymore.
Wow. Wow.
Dunzo.
Wow. Intense.
That is, for sure.
Yeah. Those are pretty much the gist of my weird stories.
those are
good. Well, those are all awesome weird stories, man. Yeah. I mean, I'm just like, wow. Yeah. Fantastic stuff, dude.
Great stuff.
I appreciate the opportunity to share. It's something that, you know, as I get, like, I'm trying in my personal life to start to embrace more of the stuff that perhaps would be parts of myself that I wouldn't necessarily just go and show, so to speak.
Yeah.
And right. So, it's really cool that you guys are interested and engaged in this, and you have your show going on about it. And it's a pleasure to, be able to share in good and safe company. So that's really awesome.
Yeah, man. That's what we try to do, is give people a platform to come on and share these things. We've had friends on that we've known our entire lives tell stories, and we're like, I had no idea.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Because when would you ever ask somebody about this kind of stuff? It just doesn't really come up in casual conversation unless you just happen upon it.
Yeah. And we also, where we grew up, especially, and I think most people are probably like this, but where we grew up, you wouldn't just say something, like you had these weird experiences because everybody looks at you like you're crazy or you're weird or whatever, they look at you differently, and they, because your framework has been altered now because now you had this weird thing that you think happened to you or whatever. That's what you said. And, nobody wants that. Nobody wants to be, have that kind of outsiderness, at least exactly. When you're growing up, for sure, at least when you're young. But as you're older, if you've got that in you, you embrace it. But I think Barry and I both kind of did that as well. But when we started this, we wanted to talk to people about, weird things that they'd seen, and experienced, because we had stuff that both of us had experienced that, maybe we told each other about it, maybe we hadn't. I think I know I had a story that I told Barry for sure, because I would tell people about it, because it was kind of like, I put a spin on it that where I used to kind of like played a trick. My impish nature came out where I was trying to convince people that I thought that something happened to me. But then I realized the more I told and remembered about this actual weird incident, that something may have happened to me in all reality. So, so I would tell people that, but also, purposely telling people that so that they would give me a little bit of side eye. So, as it's gone on, for sure, we've really embraced the fact that we want people to be able to come on and be comfortable to share these unusual stories, the ones that they've, they don't tell too many people, even their closest friends or their families or people, outside their immediate circle, because it's so bizarre and it's hard right. to, convey, and it's hard to get a lot of people interested where they're coming at it with a complete open mind, and not coming at it with a predisposed filter of, oh, listen to this bullshit,
Exactly.
We're like, oh, tell us this bullshit, man. We want to hear this shit. It's awesome.
Yeah, no doubt. That's important, because it's a part of the human experience. Yeah. And it's a part of our world, and it's part of our history. I mean, you guys know. There's imagery that dates back, and there's obviously folklore, and there's obviously myths, but there's also things that are transcending the mythology that are occurring to people and that exist and that happens as an experience. And I think that regardless of whether it's something that we promote subconsciously into the real world, which is also a very powerful and profound notion, which is, not to to get too sidetracked, but also what I really like about visual art or art in general is the idea that you can have an idea wrapped in an emotion or this notion, and you can bring that into the physical world by these techniques and stuff. But, when you bypass the artist's hand or, the musician's sensibility of sound, and you bring it straight into the real world with a subconscious will, there's that's crazy town. Awesome. And there's room for that in our world. And I think that, it's important that we make a little bit more room for that than we do for the bombs that we build and, things that that destroy and separate us. I mean, I think, there's been enough of that. Let's talk about the ghosts for a while.
Absolutely,
and let's see what else is going on.
Absolutely.
But yeah, let's create, let's reunite, let's share. Right. Let's not push away and not hoard and, you know, and keep things to ourselves. Let's, you know, that's, we're, you know, build a community. And that's another thing that we, you know, we've got Weirdsville, we've got our friends and the people that come on and, you know, we build this Weirdsville community that we just, we love. And, you know, and people can come in and everybody, one thing, you know, with a little bit of a patting ourselves on the back right now, but one thing that everybody comes on the show and everybody always says after we're talked, like, man, that was so fun. I had such a great time, you know, just talking about all this stuff. And I was like, we do too every week. We love it. That's why we do it.
Yeah.
Because it's become this great way to connect with people and to reconnect with people and, you know, to make new friends as well as, you know, just strengthening bonds with old friends. So it's just, it's awesome. And that's, we love it, you know, and we love sharing the stories with everybody else that tunes in to listen. So,
man. Well, Shannon, thank you, man, for coming on and sharing your stories, dude. We really appreciate it.
Yeah. I appreciate you guys. My pleasure, man. I appreciate the opportunity. It's awesome. I'm so glad you guys are doing it. It's really cool. I can't wait to, hear more of the shows and see what's, you know, in store for the future of the podcast too. That's going to be rad.
Hey everybody, you're listening to the What's Your Weird Story podcast. You probably knew that already because you're listening or downloaded to the episode off of your iTunes or your Spotify or whatever place you get your podcast from. We want to thank you for listening. We also want to remind you to like us, follow us, subscribe to us, make sure that you get your new podcast episode every week. We'd also like to ask you to rate and review so that we can grow our audience, we can have more friends, we can have more stories. So thanks for listening to What's Your Weird Story.
Wow, Shannon, thank you for coming on and sharing those stories with us. You know, the story about his friend that had passed was really hit me right in the sweet spot, man, because I've had that experience a little, not like that, but I've had, you know, some, you know, sort of similar experiences where you have dreams about friends that have passed and that is, that's tough stuff. And I think it's amazing that, you know, in the dream, he was able to help sort of guide his friend and talk to him. And that was just a cool story.
But was it a dream or was it him, was he projecting himself in astral form? Because, you know, he said he was meditating and, you know, that's somewhere between waking and consciousness. So that who knows?
That is one thing about that state. It's like, and I think that's why religious people have gotten so much out of meditation and they talk about, like, whenever you go to sleep, that state between the awake and the sleep, like that right before you hit the dream state or the sleep state, is magical because you can do some things. You can kind of expand your mind a little bit and your meditation practices in that point of time. And it may be one of the easier ways to practice. So it's cool stuff. I love talking about that.
Yeah. Yeah. And of course, the impishness of Shannon. I know that he was impish. I know he was very, he had that kind of nature to him. But the whole, it's complicated and amplified by the fact that his family was basically seeing what could have been a doppelganger or something like that.
Yes. That's so weird. I've never known anybody that has had a story like that. That's the first time I've heard a firsthand story like that.
Yeah. 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 Me too, dude. And I love hearing those stories because they're kind of rare, you know? Even me listening to other, you know, paranormal type podcasts, you know, on TV shows or whatever, they'll have doppelganger stories. That's obviously, you know, because that's how I know about them. But like they're rare. They're just unusual. So that's why it's so fascinating to me. Very. And the fact that it's got a whole
neat
word to itself.
Right. And then his grandmother, with hearing his grandmother's car, that was a cool story. Yeah. I think that he has such an ease to his personality, and I think that, you know, when you're young and you experience things like that, maybe that helps give you perspective. He seems like the kind of guy that has real good grip on his reality, and he's not freaked out by it or anything, and I think that's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Although, you know, he certainly didn't have a traditional kind of upbringing like we did. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. military family moved around and,
right.
you know, and like getting tested for psychic abilities.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's pretty wild, you know, and I've only ever heard that from one other person who is one of next week's guests, which we'll get into shortly. But yeah, man, like just a lot of weird things, a lot of high strangeness. And that UFO, I've never heard a UFO described the way that the one that he saw.
Yeah.
Some of the activities I've heard, but like the form of it was like, you know, I've never heard of anything to have that distinct shape.
Yeah. Right. So. Yeah. Yeah, man. It's yeah. I more people than I realize have those stories. And that's a pretty, I don't know if it's comforting or not. It's not comforting. It's,
well, I honestly find it a little comforting because I find comfort in knowing that, you know, we understand that the universe is big, 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 bigger than we could even begin to imagine, you know?
Yes.
And for us to see something that potentially says, hey, you're not alone in this, because really, man, it would be a lonely universe if it was just us.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, man.
It'd be a waste of space.
It would be. Yeah. Yeah.
And it also gives me hope that there's somebody out there that's got their collective shit together better than the human race.
Yeah.
You know?
and the so much so that they've allowed us to live. At least to this point.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, people, I think people get freaked out about that, you know, if we have alien invaders or whatever. And it's like, well, they've allowed us to do what we've done thus far. I mean, although there may be strings that are being pulled that we don't know about, but I don't know. Yeah. But it's cool to think about.
Well, all right. Well, that brings us to a conclusion, I think, on this episode. Shannon, thank you so much for joining us. So that would, tons of great stories, and it was great catching up and hearing all those wonderful stories. Next week we'll be dropping our episode on Christmas Eve, and then of course the following will be on New Year's Eve, and we've got a massive two-parter that'll be dropped on each one of those days. So you'll have the first half on Christmas Eve, that's our present, and our second New Year's Eve gift to you is the second part of the interview with Chad and Alta, who are a married couple who came to us from New Orleans. We spent a lot of time trying to organize our interview to set it up because we just had conflicting schedules, but we finally got it locked in, and man,
yeah,
we got a lot. We had a 3.5-hour conversation.
Yeah, and it's intense.
Everything.
It is intense.
Yeah, it's big time intense. Yeah,
I think people are going to dig it. Man, they've had quite a history yeah. together, yeah.
And a variety of
mm-hmm.
stories. You know, I mean, they've got UFOs. They've got some tales of voodoo and mm-hmm. hauntings,
yeah, yeah,
coincidences,
yes, just
mysterious, you know, family members, and you know, the high strangeness,
yes,
just a life of high strangeness,
definitely, definitely. And so, again, you know, really just grounded people. You know, we have people on and we talk about these quote unquote weird things, and I can't express enough how normal everyone is that comes on to talk about these things. You know, you always think about people that have weird stories or that have these like strange things that have happened to them. Like when you hear these like third hand or whatever, sometimes you're like, oh, that person's a crackpot, right? But I have I have yet to have anybody that's come on and I think this person is completely nuts, right?
Yeah. Because, I mean, we're all a little bit nuts. Let's
right,
all,
of course.
You know, I think
but that's part of it. That.
We all have to.
Right.
Yeah.
We are all
but
the, in that boat.
Yeah, for sure. We've been very fortunate to speak to everybody that we've spoken to. And all of our guests had just been wonderful guests and just been great talking to and hearing their stories. And you know, we, you know, couldn't be more grateful and appreciative of the people that take their time out and share with us, because we're doing this because we love to hear stories. We love talking to people and we love to hear these kinds of stories, you know, because these are the kinds of stories, you know, that people don't normally tell. And right. You know that because you've probably been listening for a while, and
yes,
you know, that's our focus. So, you know, and we love hearing that, and we're not getting any kind of compensation for doing this.
No,
you know,
it's purely for the love of,
yeah,
of the interest of a good story.
Yeah.
And I have people, it's cool, because I have people come up to me and say, hey, you know, you do that podcast? Say, yeah. And like, man, I've had some weird things happen to me. And you can tell that it's like, that's stuff that people just don't talk about. But the fact that they know that we have something that, you know, we do, that we talk about this kind of stuff, they feel comfortable opening up.
Yeah. It's good. You know, we've talked about this before too. It's community building, you know, it's letting people right. know that, hey, you know, you can tell this story and we're not going to be but judgmental. We're not going to be critical. You know, we're not going to criticize you. We're not going to scrutinize you. We're not going to grill you. We're going to let you tell your story in your words, and we're going to, you know, hear it. And, you know, I don't know if people, or at least newer listeners, realize that, you know, how we do this is when we know very, very little about what we're going to hear
mm-hmm.
Beforehand.
Yep.
I may know, since I set up all the interviews, I may know a little bit more than Barry, but I try not to get any details, and I try to have fresh ears,
right,
so that we can have the same kind of reactions that you guys, you know, listening at home or in your car or at the gym or wherever you're listening, so that, you know, we'll have the same kind of reactions that you will.
Right.
And
hopefully answer the questions that you would ask. I mean, that is that's part of it. You know, that's part of the deal. People have been great, and we want you guys to get in touch with us. If you guys have something to share, please do. We'll get you on, and we'll have fun, and we'll make a connection.
Yeah. And, you know, again, if you don't want to be interviewed or tell your story live on the podcast, you know, to us, you can write it down and you can email it to us at whatsyourweirdemail@gmail.com. Or you can contact us, slide into our DMs on any of our social media format, you know, stuff, Instagram and Twitter and Facebook. I almost said MySpace for some reason, but Facebook.
That was that would have been what, 2000, 2001?
That was yeah. So anyway, hey, you guys, thanks for listening once again. We appreciate you as always. Be safe while you're out there getting all your holiday stuff prepared. Tune in next week or what have you. You know, download, give us a listen to while you are seek refuge from your family and all the holiday merriment. For a break of weirdness.
Yes.
And have a good week. And until then, be safe.
Be weird.
As always, if you have a weird story, we want to hear it.
If you have a lot of them, we want to hear them all.
We can't do this podcast without your invaluable contributions.
Whether it's sharing your stories,
listening,
rating,
and spreading the word about the podcast. Thanks for listening. Till next time, be safe.
Be weird.
The stories presented on the What's Your Weird Story podcast are, to our knowledge, true experiences that our guests have had. We can't take the time to research all claims made, and besides, it's just not as fun.